Who was that?
That warden.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. We're going to get started. Good morning, everybody. I would like to call to order the regular monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners on January 17th, 2019 at 9:02 a.m. Board members, make sure your microphones are on. If everyone in the room can make sure that their cell phones are off, because we are in a building that we now have cell service, so we don't want that. Just as a reminder that we are a professional board setting, and we do ask that when we are speaking, you not speak over us, whether you're at the table or back in the audience, and we will do the same for you when you're up here. We will start with introductions, and my name is Tracy Kagan, and I am chair of the board.
I'm Jose Gonzalez. I'm the vice chair.
Dr. Leslie Easley, board member.
Michael Beller, board member.
Michelle Hare-Schattenberg, board member.
Alan Crawford, board member.
Jack Crawford, executive director.
Assistant Attorney General Frank Fishman, clerk attorney for the board.
And Kathy Stone, licensing administrator.
And Charlotte's outside. Okay. All right. We will get started with the consent agenda, which would be items 1 up to and including 2H.
Madam Chair, I'll move that we accept the items on the consent agenda as published.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
And we have a second. Do we have any discussion? All in favor of approval of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. All right, we're going to jump right on in. If you've signed in for CEUs, we now have your name up here. And before I adjourn the meeting, Kathy will call everyone's name, so you need to stay the entirety of the meeting in order to earn those CEUs, okay? Okay, we're going to start with the regular agenda, and we will go starting with 3B. And the board will call the case of Salvador Heredia, case 2018-RCE-0038.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is a case that was sent to formal hearing last month at your regular monthly meeting. Mr. Heredia submitted to the drug screen that the board had ordered, both the urine and the hair test. The hair test had come back positive for use within the last 3 months. The urine test had come back clean. I offered him a consent agreement for rehabilitative probation lasting 3 years with potential for early release after 1 year. It includes all your standard terms and conditions, including drug tests, AA meetings, quarterly reporting, etc. There's a copy in your file there. And he's also subject to a $250 civil penalty for failure to report timely. I think he reported about a month after his arrest. So as of right now, this case has been resolved, and the consent order is in front of you and has been executed.
So that's a handout this morning. Mm-hmm. It was signed last night. Anybody got any questions?
And just to let you know, I don't have a standard rehabilitative agreement, just because there's no way to prove when within the last 3 months he had used, and his criminal probation didn't kick in until about 2 months ago. So there is a possibility that he did use illegal narcotics within that 1 month window, which is still bad. And, you know, it was after his arrest and before his probation. I felt comfortable allowing him to enter into the rehab agreement.
Okay, so we don't need to vote on that. That's just a, here's your FYI. Okay, any questions, board member? All right, then we will move on.
Well, I do have a question. So do we need to vote to rescind the previous?
No, we don't have to vote to rescind. But actually, yeah, we're fine. It's already been executed. I believe Jack executed yesterday. Okay, so we're fine.
So this was initiated last night?
Yeah. Yeah, about a little after 6 p.m. last night.
Talk about the last minute.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, then we will jump right down to 3D, consideration and action on investigation of possible unprofessional conduct. And the board will call the case of Ashley Adams, case 2018-RCE-0086. Good morning.
Good morning. Members of the board, this is case number 2018-RCE-006. Involving Ashley Adams. RCP Adams was licensed with us originally on February 9th, 2012. That license is currently set to expire on October 1st, 2019. Last reported employer was Montecito Post Acute Care Rehab in Mesa, and I You're still employed there?
I am, yes.
RCP Adams does have a complaint history with us, and there is no current public access criminal record hits. RCP Adams was disciplined by her employer, Montecito, for accessing and distributing confidential information that she obtained in her supervisor's office. The board had received an anonymous online complaint on December 8th, 2018, stating on about October 4th on professional unethical conduct by RCP. Ashley Adams was noted. She knowingly and willfully removed secured documents from the desk of her respiratory manager. After removing, reading, and disseminating these documents throughout the facility for other staff work members to read, which included various health professionals, RCP Adams then shared the contents of these documents with a patient at the facility. RCP Adams did respond to the complaint within the appropriate time frame. She does admit to the allegations that are stated. She did admit that she removed some information, and it spread throughout the facility as like wildfire, I think was her quote. In closing, in her response, she does admit that it was wrong. She's learned a lesson. She would like all this to go away. She does appreciate and love her job. And she feels horrible about how I think people feel regarding this matter. So I make them further.
Okay, thank you. Because we are at an allegation stage, you'll have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know. After that point, the board will have conversation amongst themselves, but nothing back and forth with you.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll start from the beginning. So before we went to electronic charting, we were paper charting. So we share one office. My manager's desk is in there. We have respiratory supplies in there, ventilators. It's just one office we all share. So in her desk, there's a drawer of flow sheets where we write out. So I was looking for the previous day's charting flow sheet. That's what I was looking for. And so I pulled out that filing cabinet, and all the flow sheets were filed, but on top there was a few papers. And I noticed my name, so I flipped them over and I read them. Just because I was just curious, I saw my name, it was an evaluation about me, so I read it. And I read it, and there's a few good things, a few bad things, and so at that point, I just did not trust anybody I worked with, and I shared it with a patient that I had that night. And working in a small facility like this, you know, you develop relationships with patients. I understand that there's a line. They are a patient, you don't use them as a psychiatrist or whatever, you know, but I just was talking to her and that patient told everybody, anybody that walked into a room about it, and it just went from there. It was handled by my director, the DON, HR, corrective action. So it was handled in-house. So I was surprised it was reported, because I'm already under your guys' vision, and probation, I go off in May. But with that being said, I've been trying my best to. But since then, this happened around October, I've been 100% strictly professional with sharing information with patients and staff members and still my work. But yeah, I guess that's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Board members?
RCP Adams, may I ask a quick question? What wasn't clear to me when I was reviewing the information is nobody's seen what the information is. You mentioned your evaluation. What was the information that was spread about other employees in the facility? Did you look at other evaluations? What was the other information about other employees?
It was just my evaluation, and I said that two other therapists were interviewed about me and my work ethic, and they said untrue statements that I felt were untrue. And I just shared that.
Okay, so it's just your evaluation and what other people had responded to your evaluations. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Board members, no questions for her, but conversation.
So I was unclear. Is this involving the patients, or she just...
No, I think she used the patient as a sounding board.
Okay. Yeah, it wasn't patient information.
I think it says in here she was written up at work. Yeah.
It sounds like in November she was placed on a corrective action plan for building better relationships with her peers. Mm-hmm. Sounds like there may be some social concerns at work.
But to me, it sounds like it wasn't involving a patient, that it was an HR issue that was kind of handled in-house. Mm-hmm. And she's on that action per her supervisor. So.
Yeah. She's on probation with us for until May.
Yeah. So 3-year probation of the terms?
I believe it was 2-year.
2-year probation.
And then also left after a year.
Awesome. And so part of that term is that we get quarterly reports from her supervisor. What are some of the other terms?
Just bi-weekly evaluations. Or bi-monthly, sorry. Which I've been on top of,
the 15th. They've come in pretty consistently.
Okay. No violations. No violations, that was a question.
No.
Okay.
It just sounds like an immature move that something with your name on it. It got the better of you. I mean, sharing it with the patient was obviously a...
Right. I mean, in the end, it's an HR. Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that was handled appropriately at the facility.
You know, it seems like it's being handled already, so...
Oh, yeah.
Does anyone have a motion, then?
I'll move to dismiss.
A second.
We have a motion to dismiss and a second. Further discussion? All in favor of dismissal of the case of Ashley Adams, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Good luck.
I know there are some people have walked into the audience after 9 o'clock. So if you walked in after 9 and you're here for continuing education, you're not going to receive credit. So if you have walked in after 9, you're here for an agenda. We just need you to sign in so we know who came in after. Okay? Thank you.
Is the sign-in sheet still out there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so moving on, we will stay in 3D, and the board will call the case of Cindy Cervantes, case 2018-RCE-0080. Good morning.
Case number 2018-RCE-0080 regarding RCP Cervantes. Basically, this is a speeding ticket that was reported to the board within 10 days that was not required to be reported. It's not a criminal speeding ticket, and I think you just reported it because thought it needed to be.
Report anything, I was like, okay, well, I appreciate that.
So, definitely.
Staff is definitely recommending dismissal on this case.
Motion to dismiss.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. I can give you time to speak if you want.
No.
All in favor of dismissal of the case, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes. And we appreciate the fact that you care enough about your license to report everything.
I just wasn't sure. Everybody just kept giving me different answers.
So. You're better safe than sorry,
yep.
Right?
Yep. All right,
slow down. Okay, we will keep
There's
it going
no
and we will.
Oh.
What?
There's no sign.
Oh, who's got it? Oh, I have it. Pass that to Kathy. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Who's signing in, just so I know names? Tell me your name.
James Olson.
Olson?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Rube. And there was a third, I believe.
Who else?
Fox.
Yes. Fox. Yes.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Are you here for CEUs?
Yeah.
I think you came in too late for that. You're welcome to stay for the meeting, though. It's going to be fun and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
All right, while they're finishing signing in, we're going to just kind of keep moving on, and we're going to call the case of Douglas Cox, case 2018-RCE-0077. Good morning.
Good morning. RCP Cox holds license number 008946, was originally issued on February 12th, 2009, expires on May 21st, 2019. Last reported employer that we have is St. Joseph Hospital. I did not find a complaint history with the board, and I did not find any other public criminal records when the search was conducted. RCP Cox was charged with DUI around October 18th of 2018. He did self-report the incident on November 26th by email. Excuse me. On August 8th, 2018, RCP Cox was detained for a DUI investigation by the Surprise Police Department after receiving blood test results. He was charged and subsequently pled guilty to an extreme DUI violation. The plea agreement included standard fines, a 3-year probation, 2 days in jail, mandated alcohol abuse counseling, and MAD class. In addition, RCP Cox was required to show proof of the monthly interlock device and compliance with that to the court. RCP Cox did self-report this arrest by email on November 26, which is outside the required time frame, for which he takes full responsibility and response. In addition, he states, in response to the plea, I entered for one count of extreme DUI. The incident occurred on the early morning of the 4th. 3 days later, I voluntarily checked myself into a 30-day inpatient residential treatment center. The incident was wake-up call. This was the first and last time something of this nature was ever going to happen to me. He also states that during his treatment, he believes that he has the tools to make a change and that this never happens again. And he reports 138 days of sobriety. I don't have anything further unless there's questions.
Okay. Thank you for being here. You also, because of the allegation stage, will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you might want us to know. And then after that, we will have conversation amongst ourselves.
Okay. Yeah, it was a huge mistake. I take full responsibility for it. I thought I did the right thing at the beginning of the night. I gave my keys up. Somehow through the whole process, I ended up in the backseat of the car, which got me in the front seat. And then nobody else was involved. It was just myself, fortunately. I risk the lives of the public, myself, everybody else, truly. I've never been in trouble with the law before. For darn sure this is the last time. Immediately after the incident, I started looking for some place to check myself into. About a place in actually Las Vegas, of all places. Did a 30-day rehab successfully. Completed all my UAs. Never had a problem. Currently, I'm doing a home detention right now. I got bled out for this here, which I have a home breathalyzer that I'm using periodically. It goes off randomly. So that ends tomorrow. I'm just looking to try to put the pieces back together and move forward. I don't think anything like this is ever going to happen again. Ever. Guaranteed.
Okay. Thank you. Board members?
You cannot talk to him.
So this is, that's what I was going to say. So this is his first.
Is this your only DUI?
Yeah, this is the only time I've ever had anything with the law.
And the rehab that he checked himself into, he was not required to do that. From my understanding, is he just did that on his own?
Does he have any other kind of support system that he's using? Like,
oh, we can't ask.
I know, we can't ask you that.
But it sounds like, based on what Jack said, I got the impression that he did.
Just for information, I mean, this is very standard resolution for this kind of alcohol reading. Nothing out of the ordinary at all. Mm-hmm.
Home detention and home breathalyzers.
Correct.
Three years probation, 2 days of jail, classes, interlock. He's done all the standard stuff.
Mm-hmm. He has had the interlock for a year.
First offense.
Mm-hmm. So.
Doesn't the court hold
them? Yes.
Agree.
Okay.
He was outside the reporting window, though?
He was.
Correct. So I'm going to move that we offer a consent agreement, non-disciplinary, for a civil penalty for $250 for family report.
Okay. Payable within?
Pay within 90 days.
Okay. So we have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second for that discussion. All in favor, excuse me, of offering the consent for the civil penalty for non-reporting, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you for coming down. Any questions?
No, thank you very much.
You'll be receiving some paperwork from me.
Okay,
I appreciate that. Thank you for coming down.
Good luck.
Good luck to you.
Okay. The board now calls the case of Stacy Ehrig, case 2018-RCE-0078. I apologize if I pronounced that wrong.
Ehrig,
okay.
Members of the board, RCP Ehrig, holds license number 8773. It was originally issued September 9th, 2008. License is currently set to expire June 18th, 2020. Last reported employers, Banner University. RCP Ehrig tested positive for marijuana on a pre-employment drug screen at Dignity Health. And the hiring process was terminated due to those positive drug screen results. In response to the complaint, she did respond within an appropriate time frame. States, I have not been informed or made aware of any conduct that could or would be considered a risk or danger to the public in the history of my career. Every medication is doctor prescribed, and I carefully follow instructions appropriately as prescribed. I do not take medications during work hours that would impair my ability to perform essential job duties. It is important to note that my early disclosure regarding the prescribed medication during the hiring process was an effort to be honest and transparent. We don't have any complaint history or previous actions on file.
Okay.
I don't have anything further.
Thank you. Similar to the others, you have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know. After that, we can talk to ourselves, but not back and forth with you.
Ms. Ehrig, I'm just going to let you know if you plan on discussing any medical conditions or medications that you are on, you have the right to request to discuss that confidentially, so you can exercise that right at any time. Just for the board, we can do an executive session should there be a medical condition or medication that needs to be discussed.
Okay. And before we get started, I don't mean to interrupt you. Jack, on the respondent statement, the first line, is it just the name that's wrong or everything below it?
Just the name.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now the floor is yours should you choose.
I don't really know what to say. I was just trying to get a second job. I didn't want to lie about it. I wrote it on my list of medication.
I think we need to go into
executive session. I believe we should.
Then we need to motion for that?
Yes.
I'll motion that we move into executive session.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second for executive session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Okay, that passes. We're leaving. She comes.
We will take her with us.
Folks, executive session is
closed. Executive session.
Session is confidential.
Kathy, do you stay here?
Yeah, I stay here.
So I can take my purse.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, we are back in open session. So we will continue again. We will left off conversation amongst each other, but not back and forth.
Madam Chair, I motion for dismissal.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any discussion? All in favor of dismissing the case of Stacy? Eric, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. All right, we're going to keep it going, and the board will call the case of Maritza Escobedo, case 2018-RCE-0037.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for being here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Ms. Escobedo is an applicant for license with us right now, and it has not been issued yet. The last reported employer we have on the application is at Carasia.
Carioca.
Thank you, Carioca. Applicant Escobedo was involved in a domestic incident in the city of Glendale, which the police department was involved. Another party incident filed a complaint with the board alleging assault. It's alleged on June 22nd. The complaint states that I was assaulted by Maritza Escobedo in front of my two minor children. A police report was made from the Glendale Police Department. My children and I were granted an injunction against harassment to keep her away. I'm reporting this as stated on your website. Applicant Escobedo stated that she has received written notification from the Glendale Police Department that the matter has been dismissed. Did you bring that along with you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And I don't have anything further to add to the issue. The Glendale Police Department has not filed charges. We did subpoena documents, and we received minimal information back.
My question to you is, this is not an application interview then?
It is not.
Okay.
Can I also ask whether or not she disclosed it on the application?
The application was filed prior to this complaint coming in. We did not receive a self-report.
Okay, there's no self-report.
No.
So 3206, just for the board's information, applicants are also required to self-report.
There wasn't an arrest in this case.
There wasn't?
There was not. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So if there was no arrest, there would be no need for
reporting. No,
I motion to dismiss.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any conversation? All in favor of dismissal, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, the board will now call the case of Paul Gordon, case 2018-RCE-0085. Good morning.
Good morning. Members of the board, RCP Gordon holds license number 11977. This license was issued on March 21st of 2018 and expires on March 21st of 2020. When were you originally licensed with us? In 2018 or prior to that?
2016. I believe in December.
That's about right for that license number. So the license was issued in 2016. If I can get that information if we need it.
The month of December.
Okay, thank you. Last reported employer was Abraza West Campus. We do not have a complaint history on file with the board, and I did not find any additional criminal records in the public search. RCP Gordon was terminated from his employment at Abraza West Campus on December 4th, 2018 for inadequate patient care and substandard performance. The board received a mandatory report from the respiratory therapy supervisor on December 7, 2018, notifying us of the termination. The termination paperwork states that the reason for termination was failure to meet patient care standards and unsatisfactory performance and conduct. In addition, the description provides further details as quoted, insufficient response to the events that could result in patient harm, insufficient skills despite coaching and training opportunities, pause has continued to demonstrate a lack of skills necessary to successfully perform, provide safe and effective care. Concerns include lack of problem-solving skills, lack of urgency, failure to identify and respond to critical situations, failure to ask for or use offered help. It goes on to state that he did participate in additional training coaching over a time period before the termination, as well as one-on-one training. However, there was an incident that occurred on November 30th that further demonstrated these concerns listed above. In discussion regarding this incident that happened on November 30th, Paul reported several examples of knowledge gaps, including not knowing that an ambu bag can be used to ventilate a trach patient, confusion over the proper equipment use and names for managing the patient's trach setup, and delays in response to the patient's urgent situation. RCP Gordon did respond to the initial complaint within the appropriate time frame. He provided a very detailed three-page response, which I'm not going to cover today. But in closing, he does acknowledge that he did make a mistake, and he states, in retrospect, my biggest mistake was choosing the wrong closed suction catheter for my patient and putting him on it. I'm sorry if Mr. Doe was caused any discomfort by my mistake. Not all lessons can be taught in a classroom or read in books. Some of life's best lessons can be learning from the errors we make. As an RT with less than 2 years in my profession, my whole work experience at Brazos West has been one of continuous on-the-job training and improvement in mostly all areas that require interaction with RT skills and services. I enjoy my work as a therapist and pride myself on bringing relief and comfort to all of my patients. I pay a huge cost for my mistake with the loss of my job. As always, when I know better, I do better. I'm hoping that the mistake I made won't be a career ender for me. I don't have anything further to say.
Okay, thank you. Thank you again for being here. Similar to...
I'll say one thing real quick. Members of the board, RCP Gordon was employed at the hospital that I practice at. And so I don't know what the protocol is for me being involved with discussion and or voting on this.
Do you have any personal interactions or relationship with
him? I do have personal patient interactions with him.
The choice is yours, but if you can make a fair and unbiased decision today,
I feel like I can.
You can remain.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Similar to the others, you will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you might want us to know, which may or may not have been mentioned already. And then after that, the board will have conversation amongst themselves, but not back and forth.
Well, in regard to this particular case, the problem was that I used the wrong inline suction catheter on him. And the reason why is because I've never worked in ICU. So I know that there's inline suction catheter for ET tube, and there's one for trachs. But I never knew that there were three, that there was a third one that you use on trachs that are ventilated. And so when I went to go change out the trach, it said trach on it. When I went to go get the inline suction catheter, it said trach on the package. But when I got upstairs to put it back on the patient, it didn't fit within the T-piece. So I thought, oh, well, maybe this is a different model. So I put it on him. I put the... put it on him anyway, and everything was fine. I went to suction him. I looked at the gauge. It was moving. I didn't see anything coming out, and I assumed because he didn't have any secretions at that point. But I did. I said, well, okay, I'm going to go down and get a T-piece for it, but I'm going to make sure that he's okay, you know, before I go down. And within a couple of minutes, I noticed that his sats and stuff started, particularly his O2 started varying, kind of yo-yoing back and forth. And so... I knew that oxygen was a problem. I tried to give him more oxygen. In the meantime, the nurse called the rapid. And another mistake that I made was that there was no ambu bag
in the room. There was no syringe to inflate the balloon. And so these are lessons that I learned. I've taken care of this patient for a few months, and he's never cuffed or anything like that. His cuff is never inflated. He's NPO, nothing by mouth. So the fact that he aspirated, what was due to not my doing, but the nurse had set the feeding to double time on him. He aspirated three times before they came and got me. So basically I was involved in just cleaning him up, you know, and getting him correct, including trying to change the inline suction catheter after I had finished everything else to get him ready, you know, so that the job would be complete. And so I failed because I didn't know the difference, because, I never worked in ICU, and also because I didn't have the proper things in the room. I didn't learn until later that's what had happened, was that I had put the wrong suction catheter on. This is 3 days later after I got called in to the office and they told me what had happened. So I did apologize for that. You know, just know better, you do better. And I still feel, I'm a good therapist, and the nurses that work there will tell you so. All the ones that I've been involved, they always say, oh, he's in good hands with so-and-so. You know, they'll tell the patient that, and I work well with them. A lot of times there's a lot of professional jealousy and stuff going around. There are people that have their RRT as opposed to those who don't, you know, will try to make trouble and stuff for you. So sometimes the reporting gets a little bit weird, you know. It's kind of biased that way. So I do apologize. I'm sorry that I'm here. I'm sorry if the patient suffered. I don't know what the outcome was for that patient, because after I was terminated because of HIPAA rules, you know, of course, I don't have a right to know. But prior to that, I heard that he was fine. And when I, 4 days later, when I talked to my supervisor, she said, well, he's okay. He's in ICU now. We don't know the results because they're doing a culture on him. We don't know if the aspiration caused any kind of problem or anything like that for him. So.
Okay. Thank you. Board members. Only amongst ourselves.
I read through his statement. I have more questions. I would like to see this patient's chart.
Okay. Anytime there's patient care concern, I do have a concern anytime there's patient care issues that happened. Knowing how to put a Ballard on, it's kind of respiratory 101.
So I want to know a couple of things. So I guess my question, this statement is directed, I think, to board staff. I want to know the shift times that RCP Gordon worked. I want to know the patient, John Doe. I want to know, was RCP Gordon treating this patient for his full shift? I want to know if this patient, on November 30th, it looks like it was the date that this incident occurred. I want to know on November 30th, I would like to see x-rays from November 29th through December 1st. And I'd also like to see INOs for this patient for that same time period.
So
x-rays from November 29th through December 1st. I'd like to see INOs. So
INOs.
Intake and output. So I want to know feeding schedules, fluids that were given.
And probably physician progress notes.
So I'd like to see physician progress notes for that same time frame as well.
Those 3 days, yeah.
So that's basically the entire one.
No, I don't want
No, this. Yeah.
This is a chronic patient. It sounds like they've been here a while.
It's like a 5 month chart.
So
one, 3 days.
3 days, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, what's
employee management file?
Yeah, let's see what he was
for. Do you want to get his managerial file for competencies?
And if the board would like to send this to an info, then you would have.
have the opportunity to ask questions.
Right. Yeah.
And that's
I think that's where he's going, but he's just getting all his info
to make sure we have all the info to ask the right questions.
I'm going to need help. I mean, I...
Okay, he's got a doctorate.
I mean, as far as... I would like to request the entire patient chart and then pull. No.
Mm-mm. No, you don't.
So, x-rays, I know.
You can help me with that, though. Dr. Easley can help me.
Physician orders, notes.
Physician
progress notes.
Progress notes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And key.
X-ray, diagnostic results.
X-rays.
It's only a 3-day window.
Progress notes.
Right.
Yep.
Make sure you specify the 3-day window. Like I said, this is a chronic patient, so you do not want the entire chart.
Exactly. And then it appears that a rapid response was called. I'd like to get any rapid response emergency critical care documentation that occurred from that event.
Yeah, respiratory notes, nursing notes, really anything from that 3-day period.
Yeah.
And then you wanted conferences, right?
And conferences.
I would love to see employee conferences.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then I'm going to motion that we move this to an informal.
And I'll second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to go to an informal interview with a list of things that staff is being requested to get.
Yes.
Any further discussion? All in favor of going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
So what the board has done is they have requested staff to obtain more information. They have sent this to something called an informal interview. It's the next stage of the review process of an allegation. So you'll receive a notice that tells you when that informal interview is going to happen, and will give you some of your due process rights. The informal interview is where the board can ask you specific questions based upon the records, because apparently they need more information to come to their final decision. So there's going to be another board meeting where all this is discussed, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for coming down.
Thank you for being here. Thank you.
What is the 3-day time frame that we were looking at?
November 29th through December 1st.
Thank you.
Do we want assessments for that same time frame?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're getting the respiratory charting, anything that should be included.
Yeah, you should get
that.
All of.
I don't think we included respiratory.
Any respiratory charting from that time.
Dr. Easley said that. No. But I didn't write it down.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm good with that one.
So is it the same for nursing? Nursing going to have a separate record?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Do you want nursing?
So is it? Can I get the entire record for
3 days?
Well,
yes, because there was a mention that the
double time.
The patient was overfed.
Let's do that.
Okay.
The whole chart for 3 days.
For 3 days. The whole chart for 3 days.
Those days, and then HR
file.
Managerial.
I want the managerial
file.
Yeah, that's where the competencies go.
Not the HR file.
Your respiratory.
That's the working
file that the Joint Commission works when they
yeah, that's the Joint Commission file.
The HR file is you passed a background check and you went to New Employee.
You want the file from Malia.
You good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Until you say I didn't get something.
And then we're not good.
Yeah.
All right. We will keep going, and the board will now call the case of Victoria Jones, case 2018-RCE-0084. Good morning.
RCP Jones holds license number 9161, was originally issued on October 15th of 2009, and is currently set to expire on January 1st of 2021. Last reported employer was Banner Australia. I do not have a complaint history at the board on file, and there is a possible prior arrest from 2011 that came up in the public access criminal records search. RCP Jones self-reported DUI on her renewal application that had occurred on May 21st of 2017. RCP Jones did report this within the required time frame of 10 days. Back in mid-2017. The reason this particular case came up, I believe, is because on her renewal application, she disclosed and reported that arrest and report from back in the middle of 2017. She was arrested for three Title 28 violations, driving with a suspended license, DUI to the slightest degree, and DUI with a blood alcohol June 27, 2017. She pled guilty to one count of DUI, liquor, and surprise city court. The plea agreement included attendance of the alcoholic screening and treatment as recommended. The standard 15-day jail sentence was reduced to 1 day upon successful completion of the alcohol screening in the MAD class. And it also included, we also included various fees and fines. In response to the complaint, she states that she was pulled over at approximately 2:15 a.m. She had been with friends at a barbecue that evening, was following a friend to her house to stay the night because it was closer, lost sight of the car, and ended up turning around while attempting to use her GPS to find directions. She had turned the wrong way during that U-turn, and she was pulled over, arrested, and taken to the police station for a breathalyzer. No blood was taken. She was released that same day to a family member to pick me up. She notified the board within 10 days of the occurrence as to the application. Since the date of my DUI, I have satisfied all requirements and fines with the court, as well as the MVD, including 16 hours of DUI substance abuse education hours, and attended the MAD victim impact panel class. The interlock device was removed from her vehicle after successfully completing 6 months of it having been installed, and she doesn't have anything further in her response and is here today to respond to court. I don't have anything further.
I have a question for you, Jack. This happened in May of 17, and she told us about it in May of 17. Did we not, it just didn't go anywhere back then for us to see it?
Did I include the emails?
You told us she reported in the 10-day time.
So, yes.
I guess if she reported, why is it coming up now then?
Because I found out about it because she disclosed on her renewal application. So,
was that within 10 days of her arrest?
It was not.
But she reported it to us in May?
Yes.
Within 10 days?
Yes.
And what happened in May?
So what happened back then?
Because, did I include the emails in here? So it came in the office by email. I think it came into like an info at rb.az. I sent it to the investigator, standard procedure, and no case was opened, and I didn't have any follow-up.
Okay, so it got lost somewhere in the process.
I would use a different phrase, that somebody did not do their job and dropped the ball, but yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you
for being here. Similar to the others, you'll have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know, and then after that we'll have conversations amongst each other, but not back and forth with you.
I just want to first of all address the 2011 arrest for DUI was dismissed in court for my blood alcohol was lower than the amount. I went to court and had a trial by judge only for my choice, just because I knew that all my evidence would show that I would be dismissed, and it was. He even dismissed everything, even the traffic violation that they said I did, even though it didn't make sense for the intersection that I was at. So that case was closed. I did come into the office myself during that time and disclosed that just because I knew it was out and I knew that was my responsibility. And I and after it was dismissed, I did not follow up with it as it was not from the commission. As it pertains to this 2017 arrest for DUI, he read my statement of what happened. Since then, I have satisfied everything with the courts and everything that I'm supposed to do. That being said, obviously, it's a learning experience for me. My disclosure was back when it was supposed to be, and I didn't realize that they were supposed to, you guys were supposed to call me out, that they followed up sooner. So as soon as someone said they were supposed to call you, I got nervous about my license renewal. So I called to, again, take responsibility for it so that it can be dealt with properly.
Okay, thank you.
Did I hear you right? You came in, you said you were...
I did. I walked into the front door.
But In 2011, you came in and reported it to the board?
Yeah, I did.
Do you remember who you talked to?
No. All I know is someone told me you have to say something to somebody, so I came in the front door and let somebody know. I talked to whoever was at the front desk.
So, to be clear, just for learning, hopefully you will never have to use it again. The statute requires you to notify the board in writing. You can't just come in the front door and say, hey, I had this arrest for whatever. Okay. It requires the report to be in writing.
I apologize. I came for guidance and I didn't get that. Or else I would have sent it in writing. So, I apologize.
So in this particular case, that wasn't an allegation. I didn't allege that you failed to report it.
Oh.
So, is this her first DUI?
Yes.
It was the first DUI that she took.
Yes.
But there's been two instances.
And was there something else before this? How was she on a suspended license?
She went to trial.
I mean, not that that's necessarily this board, but didn't it say she was driving on a suspended license? Seems like this wasn't the first incident. But
you can get your license suspended for reasons other than alcohol.
Just making, but we did a search, and there wasn't any other criminal things that was okay. All right, so it could be something else. Okay.
It looks like the court's already taken care of. I'm going to make a motion to dismiss.
Okay. I'm going to second.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any discussion? All in favor of dismissing the case of Victoria Jones, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Okay, good luck to you.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Thank you for coming down.
All right. We will keep it moving and call the case of James Olson. Case 2018-RCE-0081.
Members of the board, RCP Olson holds license number 1629. That was originally issued in 1996. License is set to expire on November 8th, 2020. Last reported employer is St. Joseph's Hospital. I do not find a complaint history, and I do not find any other public criminal records when I search. RCP Olson self-reported a criminal charge on his November 5th, 2018 renewal application. The charge was for a criminal violation of ARS 13-1203-A3, which was assault by touching that occurred on December 15th, 2016. Case description was that RCP Olson was charged or arrested by the Scottsdale Police Department for that violation, which was non-domestic, I believe that's non-domestic, assault by touching. The case was subsequently dismissed because the state's witness did not appear at the trial on June 26th of 2017. The board did not receive any report from RCP Olson within the 10 days of the charge arrest as required by statute. RCP Olson states he did provide a response to board to the initial complaint allegation within the required time frame. He states on December 15, 2016, the incident occurred at my dad's house. My dad was dying and in hospice care. I had a heated verbal argument with my brother's ex-girlfriend. I think that's ensconed herself in my father's house. Without most of my family's permission. She caused intense dissension with her talks and hospice workers. I subtly pushed her, and she has hysterically called 911 on me. The case was dismissed. I knew this would be dismissed, which is why I did not inform the board within a 10-day period after the incident.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here. You also will have 5 minutes to tell us whatever you want us to know about this. Okay. After that, we can talk amongst ourselves, but not with you.
Okay, no. My present employer is at Brazos Central. I've been there for 17 years. It was basically a lapse in judgment before you because I knew it was going to go away. It was just a lot of emotion. She wasn't going to pursue it. basically that's probably what happened. Of course, I did report it when I renewed my license in November, as I was required.
Okay.
That's fine.
My only issue with this one is the statute doesn't say you can only report it if it's going to go forward. It doesn't matter if it was dismissed or not. It wasn't reported.
Right. That's my only case.
So I'll make a motion for consent for civil penalty for the failure to report within 10 days.
Second. We have a motion and a second for the $250 fine for a civil penalty for a consent payable within 90 days, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second for that. Any discussion? All in favor of offering the consent, excuse me, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. And I guess we haven't been saying that if the consent's not signed, we need to go to an informal interview. I guess it's important that they know that.
Okay.
Will you tell them that?
Yeah, I mean, the case doesn't close, and
okay.
We'd eventually be back at
okay.
our meeting if it was not resolved. So thank you very much for coming out.
Tracy,
yes.
Was that disciplinary or non-disciplinary?
Non-disciplinary.
$250. Then the case is closed.
That paperwork comes to you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I will send it to you within the next
All right.
week or so.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay, moving on, we will call the case of Mary Rube, case 2018-RCE-0073. Board members, for your information, 13 was signed, but that's why I skipped over that one. That was assigned.
I mean, Madam Chair, just when we wrap up with everyone that's present, I do need to go back and have you ratify those two consents, but we can do that later. I didn't realize they weren't on the consent agenda if they came in early. It's Heredia and Regina. We'll just need to make a motion to ratify those.
So even though we already talked about Heredia?
Yes, I'm sorry. I need a motion to ratify
okay.
the record.
All right, I'll go back to those.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was on your own.
This one, okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for being here. I'll go back and call these.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Rude holds license number 000705. It was originally issued in 1996 and is set to expire March 3rd, 2020. RCP Rude is alleged to have acted in an unprofessional manner by not completing patient charting as requested by her employer, which was immediate respiratory staffers. Mark Finkelstein filed a complaint with us stating that our Mary Rube has not complied with patient charting. She has acted in a very unprofessional manner. Mary had a home care client in which she asked numerous times to turn in her charting for insurance purposes as well as the client's file. She filed contact with me on Wednesday the 3rd and stated she would have it to me by yesterday. I've been contacted by the insurance company via email 4 times and a phone call yesterday asking once again for the charting. I attempted to contact her via her cell phone yesterday approximately 16:30 hours, left a message saying that if I did not receive her charting by noon today, I would be sending a letter to the board. Once again, no response. When I arrived this morning, checked my email, she had not sent her paperwork. Therefore, I called her and she didn't answer. I left her message reiterating that if I wanted to start about I stated about notifying the board, and she still has not responded, and it is now 12:25 hours. RCP Rube did reply to the complaint allegation as required within the 20-day time frame. She states that she will be sending pay stubs and ancillary emails regarding her employment with IRS. RCP Rube has not specifically responded to the allegations in writing, by affirming or denying the allegations, however, has verbally denied these allegations during a telephone conversation with the executive director. RCP Rube does have prior disciplinary action on file with the board, but is not of the same, that similar kind or nature, and if she was here to respond to the board and the allegations. I don't have anything further.
Okay, thank you. Similar to the others, so have 5 minutes to tell us whatever you want us to know. After that, we can talk amongst each back and forth to ourselves, but not with you.
When he read, which I suppose is Mark's complaint against me, are several errors in there, because from what I remember, and I did respond via email to Mr. Conker's email. He said I didn't respond to the allegations.
No, he said he responded.
Well, I thought he said towards the end.
She responded. She responded to you?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't hear Mr. Conker. Anyway, the first request I got for charting was on the day that you reported me, which was on 10/5/2018. And he wanted the charting by noon, and I got it to him by 2. I was not feeling well. 2 days before that, I was in the emergency room, and I even sent him a letter that I got from the emergency room with the doctor's excuse. Anyway, I think he's given the impression that I was working as a respiratory therapist, because nowhere did he say I was working as a caregiver. And I think that's important to know. I've worked for Mark for 30 years. As you can see, I've been certified since 85 and registered since 96. And Mark and I go way back. We call each other dinosaurs. And never had a problem with him. In fact, on my response, I noted he has put a lot of respiratory, he opened a sister company, Care with Confidence, in 2009 to keep his respiratory people busy, because it's seasonal, so mostly in the summer. He puts a lot of people to work as caregivers. So since 2009, I've worked on and off for him as a caregiver. And obviously, we're overqualified and underpaid. But I've always loved elderly and honored to work with them. And he's actually placed me with his family members and close friends when he's needed caregiving. There's been different incidences. One that I know of where there's a caregiver that was stolen from an ongoing client.
So try to stick to what you're here for today and not anything else that he has you do.
Okay, well, at this point, something, because I was working for 4 different caregiving companies. I revised my resume in November of 2017, I think it was. And all the caregiving companies, most of them don't require charting. And I find that unusual. Mark has required charting, but as of late, last couple of years, whenever I go to a client's house, I'm like, where's the charting? He says, there is no charting. So I think if they're a private pay, there is no charting. But if it's through insurance, perhaps there is required charting because they have to submit it to an insurance company. But again, this particular client, I had 2 clients in the same facility that, well, anyway, at the one facility, I had 2 clients that one I would walk to lunch, one I would walk to dinner. It was a 3-hour assignment. And again, I asked, where's the charting? He said there was no charting. So my last client, well, second to last client was August. And I found it peculiar. In October, he's asking for charting in August. The 4 days I worked there. And so I scrambled and found an old charting paper of his and got the charting to him. And he denies they even got it to him that same day he requested it. On October 5th, I got it to him at 14:11 for fax, which I have the receipt for that. And he was just very peculiar that day, yelling into my voicemail how he's threatening me to take me to the board if I don't get the charting in. I just found it peculiar. He's requesting charting and there's not been charting in a couple of years.
Okay.
And he never...
You have about one.
The fact that I'm not working as a restaurant therapist under his, you know, under IRS, he threatened to take me to work.
Okay.
And so I guess since I didn't get the charting in by noon, and we have, and then he actually, this is important, if I can just have a little bit.
You have like 30 seconds.
Okay. We had a phone conversation about this, and he was very immature and telling me and wagging my tongue. And in addition to, if I'm so unprofessional with my misconduct, he actually set me on another assignment after this.
Okay, so I think you're getting way off base from why you're here. So do you have any last thing to say about why you're here? Not anything that Mark's done, why you're here? Or have you kind of covered it all?
That I didn't get charting in on time, but I believe he asked that via voicemail, which I don't even think is proper communication. Talking to someone that he left a voicemail. How does he know he even got the voicemail?
Okay. Okay.
So when I did get the voicemail, I sent it.
Okay.
I'd like to confirm page 1979 and 1980. Can we confirm that this is the quote unquote charting that they are referencing? Mm-hmm.
These are documents that were sent in by RCP Rube with her response to the complaint. I have no confirmation from the company or Mark Finkelstein whether or not this is the documentation in question.
The name is passed out. And yes, and excuse my writing, I do have essential tremors. And one more thing, I still haven't been paid.
That's not
the question. The question is,
okay, thank you.
So if this is the quote unquote charting that Mr. Finkelstein is requiring from RCP Rube, this does not appear respiratory related. This does not fall under her licensure requirements. I believe that this is a employer-employee dispute that does not involve the Respiratory Care Board. I'm going to motion to dismiss.
I'm going to second.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any discussion? No discussion? All in favor of dismissing the case, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay, that motion passes.
Thank you. Good discussion.
Thank you.
Okay. The board will now call the case of Richard Underwood, case 2018-RCE-0083.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Underwood holds license number 8034 that was originally issued July 19, 2007, set to expire on December 17, 2020. Last reported employer is Banner Thunderbird. Do not have any board history, and I do not find any public criminal record information when searched. RCP Underwood self-reported a criminal charge on his December 1st, 2018 renewal application. The charge was for a criminal violation of ARS 13-6-2-A-1, which was criminal damage that had occurred on October 28th of 2018. RCP Underwood was charged/arrested by the Phoenix Police Department for violating ARS 13-6-2-A-1, which was criminal damage defacement. That case was subsequently dismissed without prejudice on December 6th, 2018. RCP Olson did provide a response within the appropriate time frame. RCP Underwood did not provide any specific details regarding the incident. However, did provide the court dismissal documentation in his response. I don't have anything further at this time.
So provided the response in the right time but didn't report? In the right time or did?
Did not.
Okay.
It was a self-report on a renewal app.
But not in the right time frame?
No, within 10 days.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you for being here. Again, you'll have 5 minutes. Anything you want us to know, you can tell us, and then after that, we will talk amongst ourselves.
Okay. So what it was, my wife and I have gotten into an argument, and I pled not guilty, so there was a set of keys, which hit the floor, didn't hit anything, so the criminal damage never happened, in which everything was dismissed. My wife wasn't working at the time, so it was very stressful in the house at the time. So when I asked her to leave, she said no, so I walked outside. And then next thing you know, I'm getting greeted by the police department. Long story short, I get arrested or I get detained. She did not want me to get detained at all. She didn't want me to get arrested at all. Even the police officer didn't want me to get arrested when he called the supervisor. They just said it was a valid procedure, so I went to jail. Jail is the worst place ever. I do not, I have learned my lesson through all of this. Trust me. But I didn't know about that because this was something that happened in the home that had nothing to do with patient care, anything like that. So I didn't know I had to do the 10 days. Plus, I knew that all my charges were going to get dropped. I had no idea. Outside of that, that's about it.
Okay, thank you. Board members?
So he was arrested, mm-hmm. but not convicted. And the statute states arrest, correct?
Charged.
Charged.
Charged. Mm-hmm.
So was he charged and it was dismissed, or he was never charged?
Well, it looks like he was charged because he was put in jail. Yeah.
In order for it to be dismissed, it would have to be charged.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So there was
another
report.
Yeah,
so
we have a
report.
So I was going to offer a motion. We're going to motion to offer a consent agreement for failure to report within 10 days for $250 non-disciplinary.
90 days.
Payable within 90 days.
Second.
We have a motion and a second and a third. Any discussion? All in favor of offering the consent for a civil penalty of $250 payable within 90 days, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes.
Board's going to offer you a consent agreement to resolve the allegation. It's going to be a $200 civil penalty. It's a non-disciplinary action payable within 9 days. So you get to decide whether or not you want to sign it and choose that to resolve this matter. It's very technical. Do not report arrest within 10 days.
So I have no idea. I apologize.
I understand. Thank you for coming down.
And you're going to email that?
I will send it to you by mail. You can mail it in the next 10 days or so.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to jump back to the top of this list because I know there are some that were not done. And we're going to call the case of Troy Aquino, case 2018-RCE-0076. Good morning.
RCP Aquino holds license number 11435. That was issued by us on October 31st, 2014. That license is set to expire on October 19th of 2020. Last reported employer I have is Honor Health Thompson Peak. Looks like we do have one prior complaint, number 3362. And looks like we have something that came up from 2018 in the public access record search. RCP Aquino was charged with DUI on October 28th, 2018. The board received that self-report on the same day. He was arrested for DUI, liquor, and DUI BAC of 0.08 or more. The case is currently, at the time of the writing of this report, the case was pending. Still pending in Scottsdale City Court. Board Representative Kate RCP Aquino has one prior DUI conviction in the state of California, for which he was disciplined by the Respiratory Care Board there in 2012. He did respond to the complaint within the appropriate time frame. He states, I was celebrating a friend's birthday at his apartment, had a few drinks earlier in the night. After we ate dinner, we moved the celebration to a local pub in our old town, Scottsdale, which was within walking distance. After a few hours and one more drink, we decided to walk back to the apartment so that my friends could lessen the expense of the evening. My wife and I were so tired, so we decided to head home. We happened to catch a large rush of traffic about 2 a.m., and just as we were leaving the Scottsdale area, I thought I was okay to drive home because so much time had passed between my having a drink and our leaving. But as luck would have it, I was pulled over for an inappropriate left turn. After being pulled over, I was immediately asked if I had been drinking, which I admitted to. I explained to the officer that more than a few hours had passed since my last drink. The officer immediately asked me to perform a field sobriety test, which I complied, and for which I was under the impression I had passed. After passing the test, the officer asked me if I had sent a breathalyzer, which he completed, and he was 0.03% over the legal limit. Goes on to state that he has guilt remorse over the incident, and he displayed poor judgment. It does appear that he has an appropriate support as far as his church. And again, he reiterates that he had some poor judgment. It taught him a valuable lesson. And in closing, he states that it is my hope that the members of the Board of Respiratory Therapy will be understanding and merciful and help me on my road to redemption. But not revoking or suspending my license, I will humbly take any class or reprimand it and see fit if it means I can keep my license in a career that I passionately love and worked very hard for. I don't have anything further at this time. Has the case in Scottsdale been finalized?
No.
No, I haven't.
Still pending?
Yes.
What is the next proceeding that's going to happen today?
February 13th.
And what is that? Is that the trial or?
I don't think so. It's the second hearing.
Okay. All right. Are you being represented by an attorney then?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you again for being here. You can have 5 minutes to tell us anything you want us to know, and then after that we can talk with each other, but not back and forth with you.
The one that, I guess, regarding the 2012, it wasn't a DUI. It was an exhibition of speed. You can look it up online, that's what it says. But, yeah, regarding the incident, I did have some poor judgment that night. Thank God, everyone... The public, my wife, and myself, getting in the car. I'm really sorry about that. That's all I can say.
That's it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, board members.
I want to confirm if this is the first or second DUI.
Yeah.
It looks like the other.
I want to confirm if this is the second or first DUI.
What was the action by the California Board?
It was a fine.
For what?
I have it right here. Page 205 for the board. Violation of CCR 1399.370C and 3750D. Legal code section. It may not be listed as a DUI.
Like in the state, that's fine. I guess maybe. It was same thing. Like it was going through the process. It was never finalized when they dinged me with a fine
for DUI. Yeah.
Maybe
I'm not being clear. So
I mean, like in the state. Sorry. Yeah, in the state.
Your house not time to be slicing hairs.
No, I know. Okay. But I mean, like I'm like in under the state of California. It says exhibition of speed. That's why I can't say it was DUI.
When you were warned not drinking when you were arrested in 2012?
Yes, I was.
That's what that's what I'm referring to.
Okay.
So
that answers our question. Well, I feel like it does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he pled to a lesser offense, it looks like.
At that time, 0.08.
Yeah. They dropped it from a DUI to an exhibition of speed.
Okay, so that's why he's saying it's just
yeah, it looks like he dismissed the DUI. Yeah. Right. So we got a $250 administrative penalty from the board over there.
And there was probation in California?
No. I mean, for the respiratory board, no.
No, it looks like the California courts instituted some.
Yeah, page 209, California courts.
I mean, respiratory board, I mean, I was still able to practice my license. Yeah, and that's what you guys are asking.
So, I am reading directly from the information from the California Board of Respiratory Care, citation and fine, and it says on October 19, 2012, subject pled no contendere for violating the amended charge, expedition of speed. Subject was placed on criminal probation, was ordered terms and conditions, including enrollment and completion of a 3-month first offender alcohol program. Enrollment in a AB 541 program and complete the mother, the MAD victim impact program.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm aware. It's just when we're talking about state and respiratory board, it's different.
Okay, well, yeah. My question was, were you placed on probation in California?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
That's not hard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Jack. Members?
I understand that he pled to a lesser conviction. My concern is that this is a DUI that has occurred within 6 years of his last event in California. I don't feel that this should be treated as a first DUI.
Okay.
So the options at this particular time on initial review is that the board can take non-disciplinary actions. The board can offer a consent agreement. We have in similar fact patterns, we have a standard rehab agreement, which is a 3-year probation. Offer that if they feel it's necessary in this case. Otherwise, you're going to send it to an informal interview to discover more facts that you might need to make the final decision.
And we may or may not be able to get, if he's had his next hearing on the 13th, we may or may not be able to get it by the time we have our next meeting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
What is it we would benefit by moving it to an informal?
Well, my understanding, it sounds like the courts are going to institute some type of penalty, whether that be breathalyzer or counseling classes or whatever. My question would be, does the board gain anything by instituting a 3-year rehabilitation consent, or do we wait for the board to make, or wait for the court to make a decision?
I think in the past we've always gone along with what the courts do.
We don't know what the courts do.
So it wouldn't make sense to double up on the same thing if they're going to do the same.
Right. So can we
table?
Are we better off tabling and waiting for court decision, or going to an informal just so we have that option and we don't have to wait any longer? Look at our legal
lawyers.
I would suggest that the board either table or move to informal for the court disposition, just because there is no conviction as of right now.
Yeah, I mean, any number of things can happen.
Yeah, and any number of things can happen between now and then. So I don't know what Jack's preference is to tabling versus informal.
That was my question.
I don't have a preference.
So wants to explore this one.
So yeah.
Sorry.
So what happens if let's hypothetical, it's Scottsdale Court charges, even though they probably won't, that this isn't his second. This is not his first DUI. It's his second. Just hypothetically, okay. Let's say that. What potentially could happen with that? If it was a second DUI, if it was, what would he be looking at as far as the criminal court?
Well, I'm trying to find the charging document in here from Scottsdale. They did allege a prior conviction.
They did.
And
if it were a second DUI in the state, there'd be jail time.
Well, you get jail time on your first DUI. Yes.
And the other thing is that he has admitted that he was drinking both times behind the wheel. You have enough evidence before you if you feel that the rehab agreement is appropriate in this case. You don't have to wait for the court based on what he has said today.
No, but the only reason I would say that waiting on the court is because if we're going to offer a rehab probation, and then the court is going to do the same thing. Is there a reason to double up?
It won't matter.
So here's the thing.
You should take an independent action aside from the courts.
They've alleged a prior, but his alcohol concentration is just 0.08 or greater. They haven't alleged the extremes. Mm-hmm. So if he gets convicted, either at a plea or at a trial, of a second offense under the influence, it's 90 days with 60 suspended if you successfully complete your substance abuse. Mm-hmm. That leaves 30. You can do... You can do 20% jail, which is 6 days, followed by 24 days on home detention. Plus, he'd be doing the counseling. Plus, he'd have to do 30 hours of community service. Plus, he'd have the interlock for a year. If the prior conviction goes away and he pleads straight up as a first offense, then he gets... Oh, and the fines and fees. I forgot about that. So he gets the fines and fees, which are considerably less, about $1,800, $1,800 to $2,200. He gets 10 days jail minimum, 9 suspended for a program, and counseling, and then whatever else they decide to throw in. The Scottsdale City Court rarely, and I mean this rarely, uses probation. Most courts do not.
Okay.
On misdemeanor charges.
Okay.
Unless it's a domestic violence offense or something of that nature. So that's the very least on a first offense if they make the prior conviction go away. The prior conviction would have been alleged as a major traffic violation, but not a DUI, because they have exhibition of speed over there. So if that goes through, there could be a 20-day jail term. I mean, things are so in the air right at this point. There's just no way to know what is going to happen, because his alcohol concentration was greater than 0.08, but less than a 1.5.
So if we institute a standard order of probation, he has the option after 1 year for us to remove that original.
So the only thing up in the air with that is the interlock device.
Which I believe the way I phrase it on the consent is if this applies, then you would be required to send a quarterly report.
Okay.
So mitigating circumstances. And the reason I wanted to find out the ceiling is mitigating circumstances. He reported the same day it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sometimes rare with us. We don't normally hear about him until after. So,
right.
And he reported the California thing on his original application. So he has a great track record of letting us know what's going on and adhering to the reporting part of it. So that's a mitigating circumstance.
But on the other side of that, he is required by law to report it on his application and to the board within 10
days. Absolutely.
Right. So how often have we run across that?
Well, those are the people that come before the board and don't get issued a $250 civil penalty.
Right. It's impressive that he reported
yes.
it, and I commend him for that, but it's the law. I'm not going to clap for it.
Right. But that's why I call it a mitigating circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to bring that to light, that's all.
Okay. So because we're at an allegation stage, we can if we're gonna do a probation
offer.
It's a consent. It's
right.
a consent offer.
And
okay.
you don't even though we have a standard 3-year rehab. Not every fact pattern requires a 3-year probation. you have the ability to change that. You have the ability to offer a different consent agreement for a different time frame. If you felt that just more education, you could offer a consent agreement for, you know, AA for 6 months and 20 hours of continuing education in this area. You have a lot of tools at your availability. We don't always have to do that standard 3 years. And so what does the board feel that we need to do to regulate this licensing in this particular case?
Sean, do you feel that there's any benefit at all to waiting until they make their decision, or is it going to really change it?
As I said, the range of what can happen is vast. Okay. Let's just say that.
Anything for us, though.
And I think in the past we have, you know, pretty much said that this is your second go-round.
Right.
We've done the probation, the rehabilitative probation.
By the way,
I don't always agree with that, but that's been. We want to remain consistent.
And
with what we do,
a 3-year probation with the ability to come off in 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and personally, you know, whether I understand that the final charges that are on the books in California are exhibition of speed, but this is clearly is showing a pattern and you know, a second offense. And so, you know, from a physician's point of view, I mean, this shows a pattern that I think warrants some follow-up on our part for us and for him.
So the standard order of probation, correct me if I'm wrong, the standard order of probation would require interlock, if applicable.
Yes.
It would require counseling.
Yes.
It would require reports to the board, quarterly reports to the board.
From his employer. Mm-hmm.
Random UA.
Random UAs. Notification if they're going out of state.
Abstention from drugs and alcohol.
And AA meetings 3 days a week.
Or the equivalent.
Or the equivalent.
Or the equivalent,
AA,
yeah. we fashioned that differently.
Yes.
Yeah, they get,
it doesn't work for everybody.
No, they get their choice of individual weekly counseling or as recommended by a substance abuse evaluator, whichever is more often. And or they can opt for AA or NA at least 3 times per week, and they may attend up to 1 meeting per week online if they would like.
And if the court were to mandate also meetings, like you go to a meeting that would satisfy both requirements.
Oh, right.
Right. So it's not like it's not like it would have to be in addition if they both required the same.
And the only thing that wouldn't cross over would be the random drug testing. Mm-hmm. However, you know, if Jack were to order one tomorrow and he had just taken one, you know, that morning, he'd probably sign a release to.
Right.
And we can do that for any RT.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Your probationer has.
Authority to. Is there a difference between the AA and the counseling?
Some people just AA is a typically a religion-based program, and we've had probationers in the past that just didn't believe in certain religions, and so they chose to go to counseling with a paid counselor. Some of that was covered under their insurance policy, so that just seemed to be a more feasible option to allow them that whether or not they. Choose an individual counselor, a different kind of group setting, or AA itself.
I think in the past, when it comes to the meeting/counselor, we've kind of given Jack the authority to see what it is they want and approve it or disapprove
it. And I think it was because those individual counseling sessions are one-on-one, and they're a little bit more intense, which is why I think the board is limited to like only once per week, unless your evaluator said you have to go 3 to 5 times a week. But those cases are very few and far between.
Okay, so was that the beginning of a...
I'm simply collecting thoughts. So, if we did the order of probation, what I'm hearing is that it would be a standard order of probation, not to be in addition to what is required by the court. So, if I'm understanding you correctly, if they ordered MAD counseling, they completed the MAD counseling, that would meet our requirement as well as the state's requirement.
We don't
order
MAD's not counseling.
No.
MAD is a victim impact panel. It's
one.
It's one
never
shot.
Required that. But if the board, if the Scottsdale City Court were to order like AA meetings as mandatory or counseling or substance abuse counseling, that counseling could potentially satisfy the requirement for this court.
So here's what happens in Scottsdale. Let me just throw this out because I'm pretty familiar with it. What they do is they have a resource specialist on site in the court that will assist an individual in finding an agency that's close to them, that are that's certified by the Department of Health Services to offer screening and counseling. Then they go to the screening, and the counselor, after the screening, decides how many hours are going to be mandated based on the responses to the screening. So it can range, it's usually, the minimum is 16 hours, which is a weekend class most of the time, all the way up to 56 hours, I believe. So it could range anywhere from that, depending upon the answers to the to the questions.
So I think we need to make our decision independent of what the court is going to do. Mm-hmm. With the information we have, we know what happened in 2012, and he was drinking by his own admission. We know what happened in just recently. So we're not at a first offense.
From the staff perspective, we definitely have to do something of non-disciplinary nature to document the issue. Whether that's a letter of concern and continuing education or something more formalized to require drug testing, staff would definitely give the licensee a little consideration because of the compliance with the report.
So in the interest, though, of keeping, I mean, working in the courts, you want to, of course, have everybody gets due process, but you also want to keep things moving along the line. And if rehabilitation, which is the title of the probation at this point, is the aim, then let's move it along. Let's do what we're going to do with them. Because I personally... The range of what can happen in a court is so vast at this point in time that I personally don't think we gain anything by stringing this along.
So do you have a motion?
Sure. Let's offer the standard rehabilitative consent to for the standard rehabilitative probation with the standard terms. I don't see anything that we need to change, quite frankly.
But if anything is duplicated by the court, then...
You know... again, that what can happen at the court at this point in time is so vast that at this point, I'm not saying in every case, but at this point, in the interest of moving this along and getting on the road to rehabilitation, we can leave that, I guess, to the director's discretion to communicate with the licensee and say, hey, here's what I'm doing. What do you think about this?
You get credit in this area.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion for standard order of consent for rehab. We have a second. Discussion?
So, motion is for a 3-year probation, mm-hmm. which is the standard rehabilitation agreement with terms.
Correct.
Correct? Thank you.
With obviously the option after a year.
Okay.
All in favor of offering that consent, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes.
So with the board's then, we're going to offer you a consent agreement to resolve the allegations. It's a 3-year probation with the opportunity to end it and terminate the probation after 1 year if you successfully complete everything. Staff will send this out to you. You'll get an option to sign it.
Okay.
It's not a mandatory thing. If you don't wish to enter that consent agreement, it's going to go to the next level of review, which is an informal interview. So you'll end up coming to the board and talking to them in the future.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll be getting this within the next...
Yeah, I'll send it out within
10 days.
Week 10 days.
Okay.
Thank you very much for coming down today.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
Thank you.
Okay,
good luck. All right, we're going to keep it moving and call the case of Robert Boggs, case 2018-RCE-0079. Mm-hmm.
RCP Boggs was originally licensed, holds license number 12284. He was originally licensed with us on February 9th, 2017. and that license is currently set to expire on April 12th, 2020. Last reported employer was Banner University Medical Center in Phoenix. We do have a complaint history. We have a letter of concern that was issued in case number 2018-RCE-0028. I did not find any public information on when I completed the criminal record search. R.C. Boggs was terminated from his employment at Banner Health on November 26th of 2018 for inadequate patient care and falsification of patient records. The board received a mandatory report from the RCP manager that RCP Boggs had been terminated from employment. The supervisor had received a complaint from a nurse and family member for a patient who had breathing treatment scheduled but had not received any on the night shift. RCP Boggs was a therapist assigned to the patient. He documented in the patient's EMR that the patient had refused. Upon questioning RCP Boggs, he said he did not go in the room or see the patient because he was told, quotes, the patient was crazy and would not do that. The patient's EMR showed the patient had been receiving regular breathing treatments and had not been refusing. RCP Boggs changed his charting to say not appropriate. In both instances, he falsified the charting and did not access the patient or offer a breathing treatment. RCP Boggs was terminated after the incident. Was escalated to HR. He was also in final corrective action for a concern earlier this year that was also reported to the Board of Respiratory Care. RCP Boggs replied in the initial board allegation, RCP Boggs replied to the initial allegation within the appropriate time frame. He states, on the night of this alleged accusation, I was working in general floors. As I entered one of my pods to do rounds, one of my altered mental status patients could be heard screaming throughout the pod. I was in the area for around 20 to 30 minutes administering my other patient's breathing treatments. Throughout the whole time, the patient was still screaming. After I completed my rounds, when I was charting, I had meant to select not appropriate this time and drop box menu selection. Unfortunately, I clicked the patient refused selection. It was an honest mistake. I think anyone else would have agreed that the patient's breathing treatment was not appropriate at the time. I didn't feel as though the patient would have been compliant with the breathing treatment at this time, nor did I want to escalate the patient's altered mental status issue. I wasn't being negligent towards the patient or trying to falsify a document. Later during the night, the patient's daughter complained that no one had come in and saw her mother. And that's how the investigation started. I explained to my manager that I misclicked on the charting, and it was still escalated to the boards, and I was terminated over an honest mistake. The letter of concern that's on file was for a medication. I believe it was the board issued letter of concern that he had given a Buterol to a fellow co-worker. For self-treatment, and that was earlier this year.
Yeah, the name sounded familiar. Yeah.
I don't have anything further unless there's any questions.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for being here. Like the others, you'll have 5 minutes to tell us whatever you want us to know about this. After that, we can talk to each other, but not back and forth with you.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot to take in. I didn't catch one of the parts. It sounded like you said that my manager had stated that like when I put the patient refused, that I at some point later changed it to not appropriate at this time. I didn't change the charting at any time. So like I didn't go back and change it after she had brought it up, the issue that had happened. And it sounds like she's stating that I did, like I falsified twice or something like that, and that's not what happened. So just letting that be known. I'd also like to state, like after first rounds, I was put as SWAT, which is a position that goes around to all the rapids, codes, helps all the other RTs that are there that night, so they obviously know I do my job and I'm not negligent. So it is honestly just, at the hospital you have a little drop box. They're probably right next to each other. I think anyone would agree it's not appropriate at this time. I didn't have any reason to put refused, as I could just put not appropriate because I didn't feel it was appropriate at that time.
That's, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's all there is to say. I mean, I have a character witness here that could, if you guys would like to hear that, I don't really feel like it's necessary for something that I feel like should clearly be seen as a mistake.
Okay, thank you. Board members?
I have a lot of questions. I'd like to motion to move this to an informal.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to go to an informal interview. Is there anything you need staff to get? Would you like staff to get?
Yes.
Yeah, do we have the respiratory charting?
I was kind of looking through to see the times that different things were charted.
Oh, I'm trying to find the exact date of this.
Right, because I don't actually think it's possible to change. Let it come change your chart. I know I can't change my chart.
Can you edit it?
No, it comes to an end of, it can't change the initial.
Okay.
But I don't know how it works on there.
I think we could there, so but I'm not positive.
We have to look at it. And there should be timestamps and all that.
Exactly.
It'd be obvious whether or not it was changed.
Yeah.
I believe we subpoenaed records, but I don't think we've received them as far as the EMRs and logs.
Right. Looks like we sent his information.
So I would like to see patient records for patient's care provided on November 20th, 2018. Specifically interested in the respiratory documentation. Mm-hmm. I'd like to see nursing assessment notes. Physician progress notes.
I'm sorry, Alan. Can you start over, please?
Sure. Patient care from 11/20/2018 and 11, he works nights, correct? So 11/20 and 11/21/2018.
And do you want to see it for this specific patient, or do you want to see the load?
I want this specific patient, where it states that there was concerns expressed by the daughter that the respiratory therapist did not provide breathing treatments or lung expansion therapy, that the daughter said she was in the room the entire night and the therapist came in to assess the patient. I want to see this patient's documentation.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, I want to see the respiratory therapy documentation. I'd like to see the medication administration record.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to see nursing assessment notes, physician progress notes.
Slow down.
Do you want the order?
Yeah. Well, yes,
yeah.
That should be in the MAR, but yes, probably ordered medication orders.
Yeah,
or respiratory therapy orders.
It won't be in the MAR if it's,
right.
You know, something like EasyPath.
So orders?
Respiratory orders. Because it appears that this patient, like, I'm struggling because it appears that there's other...
Although I wouldn't just say respiratory orders because I think in Cerner, the... even though there is a respiratory care order, I think the actual medication order is still under medications.
Because I think this patient was also on Q-Co
list.
And then I have just questions about processes in general for RCP5.
Did you treat this patient at all?
I've never seen that patient before. No, I've
never seen him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had a motion, we had a second, we were in discussion. Do you have everything?
Can we see the assignment sheet from the respiratory manager for that check?
Okay, so we'll close the question. All in favor of going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
So what the board has done, RCP5, is they sent this to the next level review, which is an informal interview. They've asked for some more patient records and so forth. And that will be available to them as well as you the next meeting. So you can get a notice for the next meeting. It may not be February, it might be March, but we'll send you a notice.
Okay. For the informal meeting, is that just us separately? Or
no,
it's going to be like this again?
It's going to be like this again. So the meeting open to the public. And the difference of that one is that in a formal interview, the board has the ability to issue disciplinary actions if they feel there has been violations up to a certain level. But there's an interaction. Or it can ask you specific questions on the records. You can ask them questions or make statements, I'm sorry, and give your side of the story. So,
okay.
And it's something that's done in a row.
Okay.
So you'll be placed under oath before the proceeding starts, and they'll ask you questions to determine whether or not there's any violations where the matter needs to be dismissed. Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
As far as being under oath, is that over a Bible?
No.
All right.
It's just open affirmation.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for coming down today. Appreciate it.
Can we have a five minute? If I have my documents right, everyone else who's here is here for CEUs, yes? No one else on the agenda. All right, we're going to take a... Was that a correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, we're just going to take a quick 5 minutes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right, we are back. We are going to continue in 3D and just finish that one up. And the board will call the case of Kelly Handorf, case 2018-RCE-0070.
I believe I have a handout that was given to you this morning on this.
Okay,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It came in either this morning or last night.
Or is it the email?
Yeah.
Okay, I do have it. Sorry.
Let me navigate to my information here. Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Handorf Holds License Number 11901 was originally issued March 16th of 2006. That license is set to expire on January 19th of 2020. Last reported employer that I have is Honor Health Scottsdale Osborne. No complaint history and no criminal record history online. RCP Handorf was terminated on October 2nd, 2018 for violation of Honor Health policy of, was terminated for violating their HIPAA policy. In short, RCP Handorf had posted an x-ray picture of the patient's central line and pacemaker on his social media website. The social media website is reported or described as a closed group of healthcare professionals that exchanged information with patients and that sort of thing. I have been unable to access that closed group, and I do not believe it's available anymore. It may have been closed. On Friday, September 28th, it was reported that Kelly had posted a social media of a picture of a patient that had a PIC line placed. The patient had a pacemaker with identifiable serial numbers on the x-ray. The post was included with the following comments. Can we play a game? No, not war games. Let's play where is the pick? Left side only limb available. Pacer's 3 years old. Then in doctors wouldn't place a central line because patient labs were not good. Patient on hospice, no family from out of state can get here. This was as far as I got with the pick. Ended with a midline. The statement gave patient status information. Kelly's profile shows the city where she's currently in. This is a direct violation of Honor Health Policy AD 1501, Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Posting this picture and comments could bring adverse attention to Honor Health as well as expose the patient's identity. All staff completed annual mandatory competencies and trainings on HIPAA in August. August 20th, September 3rd, were also trained. And the importance of not posting any patient or hospital information was added to the morning and evening huddle. Kelly attended huddles on August 22nd, August 27th, and August 28th. Responded, replied to the initial complaint within the appropriate time. Self-reported this and stated, I was terminated from Honor Health, John C. Lincoln. They claimed a PIC x-ray posted to a secret and closed vascular access group on Facebook. RCP Handorf responded within the appropriate time frame, denies the allegation, and does not give any details, any further details on the allegation originally. And then she provided this additional response because she could not be here today, which is the email from January 16th. I don't have anything further unless the board has questions.
Okay, thank you. All right, board members, she's not here, so.
Regardless of whether or not this is a closed or secret Facebook group, this is a HIPAA violation. And this is, and whether or not there's a serial number in here doesn't matter. You know, this is posted on a, it's shared with people that do not have, you know, permission to know anything about this station. She made reference to the fact that it's a current patient of hers.
I mean, device identifiers are actually a HIPAA violation.
They are. I'm saying, but regardless, even if she didn't have a pacer, it's still a HIPAA violation to say that you're seeing a patient that this is their X-ray. It's their X-ray alone is their information. Sorry for anybody that's sitting in the audience. Don't post stuff to vote social media. You can't do this. So. And in either case, it sounds like it was, you know, handled appropriately by her employer. I think any of our employers would have done the same.
Okay, so does anyone have any discussion, any motion? Nothing really to
say. Have any of you guys heard of this type of vascular group?
Oh, there's all kinds of groups.
There's all kinds of closed Facebook. Sure, there are, you know, physician groups.
I don't know that people post blatant information like this as far as this pager is 3 years old and vented and
they can make an argument if there's literally nothing on there to identify the patient, no location, no hospital name. You know, she gives a lot of information here.
Yeah.
But you know, I think a lot of people mistake that it has to be like a birth date and a name and an MR number, and
it has to be anything identifiable.
If there's anything on there that you can identify that specific patient, that is a blatant HIPAA violation.
So there are people that will do, but there's also boundaries that you can't go beyond, and this is so
I've seen X-rays posted before, but I mean, nothing is identifiable. There's no hardware in there. There's no
I've seen X-rays that you also cannot make reference that this is a current patient in your facility.
But I've heard people post X-rays, as a former educator, we would post things to say, can you guess the diagnosis on this X-ray?
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily a patient I'm treating, but
correct.
You also go the extra mile to black out everything that you identify.
Correct.
Well, and she gives away all kinds of information, even to say the patient is on hospice until out-of-state family comes in. What if somehow this gets to the wrong person who doesn't know this information? Like, it's ugly.
So
it's a bad idea.
I think that, yes, this is a HIPAA violation.
But it was.
As a board, I am comfortable with a letter of concern, and the concern being that you cannot disclose patient information.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for a decree of censure, for a consent for a decree of censure.
For a HIPAA violation.
If not signed, we go to an informal. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
A roll call for that? Okay, roll call vote.
Jose Gonzalez, aye.
Shell Hershenberg, aye.
Kathy Rainier, aye.
Alan Crawford, aye.
Dr. Leslie Easley, aye.
Michael Beller, aye.
Tracy Kagan, aye. Okay. That motion passes. Okay. It looks like we are at Matthew London, case 2018-RCE-0082.
RCP London holds license number 32919. That was originally issued November 13th, 2018. That license is set to expire on May 17th of 2020. Last reported employer that we have is University Hospitals. haven't found a complaint history or public criminal records history. RCP London was terminated from a travel assignment at Arias Medical Group for failing a pre-employment drug test. Arias Medical filed a complaint with the board on December 4th, stating RCP London was recently terminated from his travel assignment at University Medical Center in New Orleans, Louisiana, for testing positive for a controlled substance. The test was administered per University Medical Center order about November 20th, 2018. RCP London provided a response to the initial complaint notification on December 18th, 2018. He states, I do have a medical prescription. I have a bottle with an active that has an active prescription. I sent them photos of the bottle to confirm this. The third-party vendor stated that there was another medication in the same family that showed it positive. They refused to allow me to test again, even though there are several reasons you could have a false positive. I did not take any other medications or controlled substances. I am preparing to start a new position in Arizona with Banner Staffing and will be taking another drug screen. I haven't taken my prescribed medication in almost a month because I'm afraid it will lead to another false result. And as I said, I don't have any prior complaints on file. One issue that I've run into on this particular case, we have not gotten a response from the MRO or the hospital in New Orleans to get the results of the testing. So I don't have quantitative or qualitative test results, and I can't tell you exactly what showed up in the testing at this time. It's an out-of-state entity. Sometimes out-of-state entities with out-of-state subpoenas are uphill, so to speak. So I have to follow up on that. But out-of-state, so if Arizona sends Louisiana a subpoena, it's not necessarily enforceable because it wasn't issued by a court of competent jurisdiction in Louisiana. But
Louisiana special.
We're working through that. I just want to get to the board because of the allegation and see if there's any follow-up that happens. I don't have anything further.
Okay, thank you. Any thoughts, board members?
He's saying he doesn't have that result, so we're waiting for it. As far as I know, that class of medication is not, I think it's just reported as a class, and so I don't, the response about being, you know, another medicine that's similar testing positive does not make sense to me because I think it's just a drug class that's tested for. So again, without the MRO response and stuff, it's hard to say. And then the question is what impact does that have on our board?
So we can, staff would suggest that we either table this to another meeting, or if you feel that it needs further review, you can send it to an informal interview, waiting the results of the subpoena, or if you felt it rose to the level that we need to do something immediately, we could actually issue an order for drug testing now.
So, I worked for a drug and alcohol testing company prior to going to medical school, and if somebody tested positive for that class of medication and had that prescription, then it would be reported as a negative test.
Correct.
So I'm not understanding this.
So I think we need to table this until we can get the MRO's response.
So I'll make a motion to move to informal pending the MRO's response.
Okay, so we have a motion
second.
And a second to go to an informal interview pending the response. And then if we get the response, then it can be taken care of at that point.
Would the board like to also request a urine drug screen in the interim or no?
I would say yes, because if we don't get the response from the MRO,
right,
we potentially have a therapist who's working.
Yeah.
Right.
And at this point, can we do that at this stage? Okay.
For anybody
at any
time.
Okay. So we've got a motion to go to an informal interview and a second. And a drug screen. Yes. Okay. Discussion.
Yeah. Is he local now or not?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so it says he's applying for a job at Banner, so that's so.
Unless he's in college.
Here.
Oh, yeah, because he was on. But why do we know which Banner?
We still have agent jurisdiction.
Right.
Still a license. Even if he's over, okay. He would still have 48 hours to pop into a
So what if he's not in the jurisdiction?
We still maintain a jurisdiction at that time.
No, I understand that part. What I'm saying is if you send him an order to go test, how are we going to...
Oh, inside the order, there's actually a requirement that they have to sign release forms specifically for this board, no matter where they go for the test.
It's up to him to find the place.
You could test in Colorado, and they'd have to send a test.
Because our probationers go out of state all the time, and we still randomly check
them. No, I get that part. I just wasn't sure how we like, say, you got to go test, and then... He's out there like, okay, wait a minute, you know, what are we doing here? I just, hopefully there are specific instructions. And then
okay.
Send
Jack will
help
remain.
Jack will resolve.
Who is the second on that motion?
Me.
Thank you.
Okay, so all in favor of moving this to an informal interview pending the results and doing the drug screen, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Okay, that motion passes.
And you just wanted the urine screen. You didn't want a hair follicle.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. We will go down to... Oh, you know what? I'll stop at 13. We have to ratify this consent, apparently.
I'm going to take that back because I didn't realize that she was on the agenda last month and it had already been ordered by the board.
Okay.
To present her with that consent, so that's fine.
So totes kidding. We don't have
to. Totes kidding on that one, but I do need you to ratify that already and we can do that later.
Okay, I'll come back to that. All right, so we're going to go down to Sheila Trigg, case 2018-RCE-0074.
RCP Trigg holds license number 11446. Has been licensed with us since November 25th of 2014, expires September 14th of 2020. Last reported employer's Cornerstone Hospital in Tucson. No complaint history or public criminal record history was found. This case was a late renewal where she disposed working six shifts without a license. I have not had any contact with her since the initial report. She has not responded to this complaint as required. And staff asked that you send this to an informal interview for resolution.
Can we offer a consent for civil penalty for the...
She has been offered a consent agreement.
Oh, she has.
She has, but now that she hasn't responded to anything, including the initial complaint allegation.
I motion that we move this to an informal.
We have a motion and a second for an informal interview. Any further discussion? All in favor of going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. And we've got Luis Verdugo, case 2018-RCE-0041.
RCP Verdugo holds license number 12386, originally issued July 24th, 2017, and will expire on September 17th, 2020. Last reported employer was Banner Staffing Services. Did not find a complaint history at the board, and I did not find any additional public criminal record information. RCP Verdugo was arrested on March 5th, 2018 and charged with one count of DUI. The board received a renewal application on August 23rd, 2018, in which he disclosed the arrest. He was arrested for two counts of ARS 2813-81A1 and A2, which was driving under intoxicating liquor and having a blood alcohol content of 0.08 or higher. He did plead guilty in this case. On April 3rd, 2018, he pled guilty to one count DUI liquor. First offense plea agreement included standard terms alcohol be screened, treatment, 10 days of jail suspended to 1 day upon successful completion of the alcohol screening class and payment of various fees. He did respond to this complaint, stating he was arrested in Scottsdale, Arizona for DUI, pled guilty, currently completing all the disciplinary actions that come with the charge. I have since then taken responsibility of the actions, so the offense will not happen again. I am willing to provide any necessary documentation requested from the board. In conclusion, I know my decision was not a representation of the professional conduct. I was not a representation of professional conduct, but I have since learned a valuable lesson from this incident. He did not report this within the required 10 days. Otherwise, the criminal case was resolved by a plea agreement.
Okay, thank you. Board members?
So, first DUI. Mm-hmm. I'm in a motion that we offer a civil penalty in the sum of $250 payable within 90 days, non-disciplinary, for failure to report within the time period.
We have a motion. And a second and a third. Any discussion? All in favor of the civil penalty offered and in a consent, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that passes. All right, I'm going to go back up to 3C, consideration and action on informal interviews, and I'm going to call the case of Salvador Heredia, case 2018-RCE-0038.
Again, Madam Chair, members of the board, if I could just have you ratify the consent agreement that was presented at the beginning of this meeting, I apologize. I thought it had made it onto the consent agenda, but then I didn't realize that we'd come in too late.
So moved.
And a second? Okay. Motion and a second. Do we need a roll call or no? No. All in favor of ratifying the consent, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
I need to get close that second.
Kathy.
Thank you.
Okay, looks like we are at 3E, Executive Director's Report. Jack, take it away.
Do I have it too?
3E must. You have a whole list.
I do. Another handout that is a little more refined since the last couple months is the case. I handed out a one-page case summary today. The takeaway from this, thank you for the instructions. The takeaway from this is that we've started to use our new computer system a little more. I'm comfortable now that it's been updated, so all the closed things are closed, all the open things are open. After today, so you have a total of 23 cases that are currently open, including the ones that you resolved to work on today. So you have a caseload of less than 10 cases open right now, which is really good. Yeah, so I'm pleased with that. And we have a new tool that with the Salesforce with the new computer system where we can really start narrowing down time frames as far as when a letter's sent out, when it's responded to, the average time for cases to be investigated. We can start tracking between board meetings so we can start getting real numbers on the case progress and the stages. And it's going to take a little while to get that set up, but it's going to be a really good tool in the future. So I just wanted to show you that. You'll be getting the same thing for compliance issues. It's when you issue an order. For right now, I couldn't, from a report, tell you how many open compliance cases we have. So by next month, you're going to get a report that says you have 35 compliance cases that are currently open. 23 of these are going to be because people didn't do the continuing education, you have five people on probation, that sort of thing. So all this is getting loaded into a new computer. Traditionally, it's always been done by hand on an Excel spreadsheet, so just a quick update on that.
So I have a question on the Salesforce system, which is within the system when you're tracking the cases, can you then, is there a field where we can find out, like, how many of these cases are drug-related, alcohol-related, things like that? So like a classification based upon whatever you put in the system, failure to report?
There is.
Okay.
But I have one caveat to that. So when the system got built, it was everything was leaning towards licensing renewals applications because nobody could do that electronically. Not much time or money has been spent on the cases. So there are general descriptions, but the general descriptions are over 13 agencies. So somebody may have a different terminology that has a different meaning, and everybody right now is trying to push those case types into similar. So I do have metrics on that, but they're not as specific as I would like them.
So my request would be that in the future, I think it's in the interest of the board to be able to report out when the board issues a consent agreement or a fine, that we could correlate that data with what their infraction was. Mm-hmm. So that way that it's not perceived that we're just finding people to find people.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic observation, and I hope we get the funding to be able to do that. Did you get my email?
I did. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Board Member Beller had asked a question last night about how we report disciplinary actions, where that comes up on our website, and so forth. So right now, for example, the Creasa Center that we took action last month, those people for the HIPAA violations, they now have a disciplinary action. That shows up on our website. If you do a license query on an individual licensee, it shows up as a check mark. Yes, they have disciplinary action. It's just a limitation of the old system. We are also required by statute to post a list of all disciplinary actions. So the actual document shows up in a different area of our website. With the new system, when the new system goes live, you will pull up a license number by name or license number, and it'll have a licensee profile that shows went to school here, was licensed here, license is currently here. It will have a copy of the actual disciplinary action attached to the profile.
And it'll be everything except letters of concern.
Right. And certain non-disciplinary actions. And those are set by statute. So
interesting.
We're getting there, but all your staff is entering stuff into the new system on a daily basis, from everything from licensing to disciplinary actions. The reason for that is because when the data conversion happened close to a year ago, they didn't get all our stuff converted. The company that did it is, I don't have good things to say about them, so I'm not going to say them. But we've chosen to do all that manually. And I said hopefully by January we'd be up and running, but we're behind on that too. But we can't go live until all the disciplinary actions are posted and it's all correct information. Otherwise, you're looking at front page of the paper kind of stuff.
And absolutely.
We can't afford that.
Do you have a forecasted time frame for that?
I don't. You want to help with that? I continue to ask Kathy, how long has it taken to update, license renewals?
Do you think we're 30%, 50%?
Actually, the renewals, we probably have about a month and a half worth of information left. As of the first of the year, I started inputting into both systems. So January, is all caught up in both systems. I actually have just December's to finally catch up.
Yeah.
But we've done name changes, address changes, things like that. I mean, It just is time consuming with everything else that you still have to do in a day.
Well, that's what I'm concerned about, because I know we're entering in two systems.
Yeah,
right?
In two systems. So hopefully, I was going to say, by the end of next week, I will have all the renewals in there. That part is going to be all caught up. And I said, Jack can tell you a little bit further, we finally started the audit process since I went ahead and I have done all of January. So everybody who's renewed since the 1st of January is had a letter or had an email sent out to them yesterday asking them to send in their CEUs. So yay, that part has started. So,
Michael, the I really want it. So they did a date conversion back in May, and I would really like to get us up and running within the first quarter by the end of March. We started entering on the back end and the front end, so
yeah,
we're entering both sides, so eventually that's going to meet up. So when a renewal comes in today, it's getting entered into Salesforce, but we're starting to get it cleaned up. So
I have kind of related question more on some of these actions we've taken for people that are on probation, and I apologize if you do this already because I'm new, but do we ever get a report quarterly or yearly that people are who's on probation and that they're in compliance?
That's the other report that I'm describing to you.
Perfect.
So the Salesforce, the new computer system, has a way to log that. Perfect. The old one did not.
Right.
So you're going to start seeing, I think it's a CI number for all the compliance, and it's going to, it'll show
just
you.
Just say they're compliant, and that's, so
and
we're,
if
so we're tracking
not
them.
Compliant, you'll get a complaint before
right.
Board,
sure.
Immediately.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
Great okay. Question.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Very good question. I got off the topic, I think. What was I talking about?
Oh, no, you're still in one, so you're just different reports.
Yeah, so I don't have any. The only other significant thing as far as numbers is our total number of licensees have gone up drastically. We're up to 4,400 licensed respiratory therapists, RTs. It has traditionally hovered around 4,100 over the last 6 years. I always thought that was kind of market saturation point, but it's gone up by 300 to 400 in the last year. I have it run. I would love to have some time to really crunch numbers and tell you if it's because we have, these are all out-of-state applicants or in-state applicants, new graduates. I just haven't had the time to run the stats, but the total number's up. And that's significant over the last 6 years.
Well, there's so much growth in our healthcare system, that's not surprising to me.
And it's good to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything further. Kathy, you want to comment quickly on licensing?
Yeah, I can give. You probably have already seen the reports, but right now, applications that are currently pending is 93. Which I think is still, I think it's a little bit low still. I'm used to having about 120, so I think that so far the market's been a little bit on the slow side. But this month we issued 21 new ones. We did have 4 fee waivers, of which 3 of those were issued. One of them was not because they didn't qualify. Late renewal applications that are pending are 2. Late renewal applications approved and renewed were 4. There was 3 applications that were closed because they did not meet their 210-day deadline. And there was 1 who was closed because they did not meet their 60-day late renewal deadline. So as far as our time frame report goes, it's pretty much this. It's still continuing to be the same as always, so we issued 21 applications. The administrative completeness time frame was 1 day. Substantive time frame was 1 day. So overall time frame is 2 days it takes us. And of the late licenses issued, the administrative completeness was 1 day. The substantive review time frame was 1 day, with overall being 2 days.
Okay. Good job. Thank you. Have any volunteer applicants?
Have not had any until, you know, since that. Right at the beginning, when we had maybe 4, and ever since then, nothing.
Licenses are getting processed.
Nice. Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. The only other thing I have is we had started trying to run legislation last year, and because of the time frames, we kind of got excluded from the process. The issues in that were the taking orders from other healthcare professionals, mm-hmm. in which we've established a substantive policy statement for that now. So I'm going to be asking the board, or we still want to try to seek that legislative change so that RTs can take orders by statute from physician assistants and whoever else has that ability. The other thing that was in that legislation was switching from criminal background checks, fingerprint cards, to the fingerprint clearance card, which if we did that, we still get the same criminal information, but it's a quicker process. All healthcare workers, the majority of them, are required to have criminal fingerprint cards already. So it's not, it would reduce the time that we would be making applicants apply for a license.
And so if you had an applicant applying for a license who already had a fingerprint clearance card, they could use that.
Yes.
And we would not be requiring people to maintain that, right? If it expired and they didn't want to get another one, then they don't have to get another one.
No, they would maintain it.
They would need to maintain it.
Yes, because the advantage of a fingerprint clearance card is that if you hold one, anytime you get arrested or anything, the board is automatically notified.
So it is not, it is currently not the expectation for a respiratory therapist that have a fingerprint clearance card to maintain it.
Good. So if we went to that standard, we'd be eliminating the background check, which takes 30 to 35 days to get the background check. But we would be requiring them to hold a fingerprint clearance card.
See, and for me, I would rather pay for the background check one time up front than have to redo my fingerprint clearance card every 5 years. That's one more thing that I'm going to have to remember to do.
I feel like it's one more thing that we're going to have. I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but are we going to then get their fingerprint card expired? Here's a case open on them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Or you would have to have a time renewal. The difference is that you only fingerprint people. So there's a couple different ways to look at this. But you only fingerprint people when they're licensed initially.
Right.
We only find out about criminal violations if they're reported to us.
Right.
So you have, you can look at it as an onerous regulation. Or you can look at it as, hey, we get notified as soon as everybody's arrested for extreme DUI.
Couldn't we put that up in PACER and get the same information?
It's not 100% because different courts report to PACER at different times, sometimes not at all.
I've honestly never even heard of this fingerprint clearance card. And so I didn't know that was a thing that at least a lot of healthcare workers have.
So I don't know. I work in a
long-term facility. I've never been fingerprinted.
Like, it's required, I think, for students. And I think anyone who works in, like, long-term care.
Our students don't have to have it, but long-term care makes sense. So any of our students who are going to long-term care facilities.
Yeah. So you have one or two other agencies that require it. We can have a discussion on it. Obviously, it's
if it's standard in the industry for other similarly licensed individuals, I would be willing to have that discussion. We certainly
standard for nursing.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, for nursing.
Yes, it is. They have to maintain their
nursing. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
I'd be open to discussion like that at every license renewal.
Well, no.
You only. You renew your license every 2 years. Your fingerprint card's good for 5 or 10. I don't know. Probably not going to pop
five.
It's in my wallet. I can look at it. But
so there'd be one kind of off-cycle one.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll bring some information at the next meeting.
It's worth having a discussion.
So I think if it's becoming industry standard, then that makes sense. But if it's something additional that other people don't do, then,
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know if it's becoming the industry standard or not, but I'll check it out and bring some information to the board on it.
Okay.
The other thing legislatively was we had talked about doing the true endorsement or getting the statutory language to be able to do true endorsement of licensing, and then you would have to write rules on what that looks like. Right now we don't have true endorsement. True endorsement, reciprocity is if I'm licensed in California and I have similar entry requirements, so I have a license there, I get a license here.
It's like a compact license.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the way everything's moving right now. So right now you have an executive administration that wants people to be able to get licensed in Arizona. The nurses have had a compact state for many years. The other industries are starting to have it. So that was the other thing that statutorily that I need your approval if we're going to seek that. You get the statutory authority to start. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to, but you have the statutory authority to then write the program. So those
what's
are
that
the
called?
Compact license.
You said something else, though. True.
I said endorsement, reciprocity. True endorsement.
True endorsement, that's the word I was looking for.
True endorsement is I have a license in California, have my RRT credential.
Got it.
I apply, I get my license here.
Yeah. I'd like to talk about that.
Yeah.
So we need a statutory, I need to get the statutory. If we're going to head in that direction, we need the statutory authority to be able to do that because right now we don't have the ability to do that. So we would be seeking legislation to go down that road. Mm-hmm. So maybe I think we'll be okay by discussing it in February. But with your permission, I want to start working on getting the folder up open and getting at least a bill number assigned to what we had from last year.
Would it only be with those states that require RRT credential?
It would have mm-hmm. to be a similar, yeah. And it was three. There was only three states that mandated RRTs. I don't know what it is today. Maybe up to five. But I have to check with NBRC, National Board of Respiratory Care, to see what it is now.
Okay. There was something else that we wanted to put on the agenda last month.
Oh,
it was about when. Well, no, it's with if an RCP passes away, what we do with their license. That was a future agenda item.
That's a statutory thing, also.
Okay.
You can do that in statute.
Yeah, we're doing evaluation.
I haven't heard anything about that.
And then didn't we want to look at drafting policy around for failure to respond?
Yeah, not just failure to report, but to respond.
Right. So we send you a complaint saying that this allegation has been opened against you.
There, and it says you have 20 days to respond. Yeah. And so if they don't respond in a timely fashion, what we might want to
was that,
be doing?
Was that something I was doing?
Yes.
I didn't remember. For future.
Because you were going to see what other boards were doing.
Yeah, because
I remember it now.
we're fine if it's for no response to formal because that's a deem, mm-hmm. but there's no penalty if they don't respond to the first 2 months.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Just
as
you have to, but not
necessarily.
Right. Like all those other
ones. We wanted to find out whether it should be a letter of concern or civility.
Mm-hmm. Right, we're working on that.
And we were going to survey other boards. I remember.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. What else is in there?
Mandatory board member training.
Oh, thank you.
I sent you a bill.
Yes, you did.
Oh.
Did you know?
What
up? Talk about that.
Representative Lawrence has introduced, and I don't have my legislative list.
Yeah,
I usually bring a legislative list to the meetings. Representative Lawrence, who is the vice chair of the Senate Health Committee, introduced a bill that is proposing apprenticeships for every single license, registration, certification that Arizona issues. And it's to allow people to get on-the-job training to be able to obtain a permanent license across the board. Everything from respiratory therapists to... I didn't see an exemption for physicians. I didn't see any exemptions whatsoever.
Break that down for me. I'm not following.
Yeah,
so if I want to become a teacher in Arizona... I can apply for and get an apprentice certificate or registration from the Department of Education that allows me to get on-the-job training
from a mentor.
From a mentor. From a
mentor.
From
the mentors have to be registered with DES. They're screened and they're screened and picked through DES. If you want to become a mentor, you have to file an application, and then they'll pick.
So essentially, we can have 18-year-old high school graduate graduates from high school, decides want to do apprenticeship.
I have not read this bill yet. I have not read this bill yet. Okay, but the way the apprenticeship system works in Arizona, there's a whole website for it on the DES website. There have always been apprenticeship programs for journeymen and skilled workers and things like that. So they want to move that into the healthcare realm. So far, there are several other boards that have approved apprenticeship, not health boards, other technical boards. They still require you to go to school, but your didactic is done in school. Your clinical you can do instead of doing the nursing program or whatever, you would find yourself a registered mentor, and then that mentor would say, this is going to be my apprentice, you can only have one at a time. And they would train you for X amount of hours, whatever is required by law, to become that type of a certified professional. Yeah. So I have not read this bill. From what I understand so far, it's pretty vague.
It is a hard no.
Can we vote on this right now?
Does the mentor get paid?
Do we have a bill number?
Call that in medicine.
The apprentice may get a nominal salary. But what it is they're basically getting free labor. They're getting like a medical assistant for a year or...
My two comments when Michelle sent it to me were educational institutions are going to have a field day with this. Mm-hmm. And, however, it might actually reduce costs in the hospitals.
Mm-hmm. It would increase the cost for the agencies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. I'd like to...
So bills are getting introduced. I started a list to track. That's one of them.
I get stuff from the State Bar. It comes to me.
There's a reciprocity bill, too.
Do we have a bill number for it? Is there a bill number?
What is it, 20?
2038.
2030 some or other, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a summer bill.
State Bar sent it out. It's like...
If everybody's interested, I'll send out an email with the information after the meeting.
Yes, please.
I'm going to come up with
you.
You're
going to
be my mentor.
No, I already gave you a hard no on that.
I'll be developing the legislative agenda as we proceed here. I don't have anything further unless there's questions.
Mandatory training.
That's where we started. For our new board members and existing members, there's a board member training through the governor's office that I need my two new board members to take, and then I need the certificates so I can put them into your file. And then there's a requirement for 12 hours of training and board-related things. I will be sending you links of free stuff that the new members can take. Is it 8 hours a year? What is it?
It's 12 hours total for your entire board.
It's not per year, though.
Board membership, yeah. It's once you become a board member, it's good for life, I believe.
So I have one or two other board members that haven't completed their 12 hours yet that I need to get that training and the certificates in the file. So you're going to be getting some emails from me. I am sorry that stuff you've already done. I'm sorry that it's probably going to be a review of everything that you've already done and already know, but it's a statutory requirement, and I need to do that and close up that loop.
This board would be happy to do that.
Once you obtain your 12 hours, you're good. It's not an annual thing.
That is why this board would be happy to do it.
I sent you a packet, Dr. Easley. I'll go ahead with the email after the meeting.
Okay.
That's good for about 2 hours.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
All right, anything under 5? I see that's a new...
I don't have anything under 5. I probably...
No, Frank is shaking her head no.
Nope.
Okay, we're moving on. All right, so we're done with your executive director's report.
Yes.
Okay, we will move on to 3F, which is board elections of the chair and vice chair. I always like to throw out a thank you for allowing me to be your chair for the last year. I do enjoy this role. I would not be opposed to doing it again if that's what the board chooses, but
if anyone else is interested, speak now or hold your peace for 1 year.
And I've enjoyed being the sidekick, so
I'm good. Can we do this by acclamation?
We still need a
nomination.
We need a nomination
and an extension.
So I will nominate Tracy to continue to serve as board chair.
So do I need to bow out of the...
You would just abstain from the vote.
I can't even vote for myself.
No.
Okay. Do I still call for the vote, or does someone else... Go ahead, Joe.
So we have a nomination on the table. Is there any discussion on a nomination from any members of the board?
Is there a second on the nomination?
Yes, there's a second.
Okay. I have a first and second nomination. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor of nominating Tracy for another year as board chair, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there any opposed?
You won't offend me.
Motion carries.
Okay.
So can we have a nomination for vice chair, please?
I'll make the nomination that Jose serve as our vice chair.
Yeah. It's a dynamic duo. I break it up. Mm-hmm.
Is there a second to that nomination?
Sure, I'll second.
We have a first and second to nominate Joe Gonzalez as vice chair for 2019. Any discussion?
Is there anyone else? Because he will not be offended either. I'll just say beforehand. Anyone else who wants to nominate themselves or someone else?
Hearing none. All in favor of the nomination, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Congratulations.
Yay. Okay, we will move to the call to the public, and the call to the public is when anyone out in the audience has 5 minutes to address the board with anything you might question or want to say. Please know that we cannot have any discussion about what you want to say because it's not been agendized, but you are free to speak should you choose to. Anyone? This is usually the time where we ask what you guys got out of it, if this was a useful meeting. Anyone?
DUIs you guys got. Dang.
Very popular take on DUIs.
It's the number one complaint that comes in, and it's the number one thing that gets RTs in trouble with their employer and the board. And you know what? For the $50, $25, $100 for an Uber or a cab, it is just not worth it.
Uber, Lyft, everywhere. Don't have one drink in the
drive. I don't know if our officer has anything to that, but you know, even if you have one drink, don't think you're safe because you're not.
And Arizona has a mandatory minimum sentencing guideline on DUIs.
What else? Anything else?
The other feedback?
I guess I do have a question. Whenever you renew, do you have to send the keys in, or do you guys already have it?
Something that's currently changed in January is the board is starting to conduct 100% audits of continuing education. 100%. So when you renew, shortly after that, you're going to get an audit letter from the board. And you're going to have to send in all your CE. So it's not with your, it's in the future, near future, it will be with your license renewal when you submit your application. It's not quite there. So 100% audits, you're going to have to send in all of your CE either with your renewal application or right after you get renewed.
And as a word of caution, if you get your CE between the time you file your renewal and you get that letter, you're still in violation. So make sure you have all of your CE when you hit that send button. Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yes.
So 20 hours, mandatory. You have to have at least 2 hours of ethics, and you can have no more than 15 hours online. You have to have at least 5 hours of live continuing education. Okay?
Or attend state conference every year.
Or attend the ACSRC conference every year and get 10 hours per year.
And one CEU every year.
And one ethics CEU every year. So everybody that's here, you want to, any other questions?
James? This accounts for four lives. Is that
right? Who is that guy? Does he get 4 hours? Maybe not. You might get three. No. Yeah, so Kathy's going to handle, it's going to do roll call. You're going to get a CE certificate from us within the next week or so for 4 hours of CE. Two of that's good for your efforts.
But it would, I think his question was, do those 4 hours count as live hours?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I was too busy trying to make a joke. All right, 4 hours live. Okay.
Any other questions?
So after today, we officially get CE, right?
Yes.
Email to us. So yep. If I renew today, I'll be okay.
You attended.
Yeah.
Yes.
He doesn't have a certificate in hand.
Yeah.
He's completed the continuing education.
The certificate won't have a time on it, but it'll have the date.
Yeah. You're good.
We just did.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move on to H, items to be placed on future agenda. I think we kind of covered that a little bit. So before we adjourn, we'll have Kathy do her roll call for CEUs.
Either raise your hand or say you're still here. Omar? Rachel?
Here.
Is it Dalila? Doug? Doug Cox?
No, he was on the
agenda.
Oh, he was on
the agenda. I think we signed the wrong one.
Cindy?
Also, who was the last name?
These people are really confused.
There were like five people, I think, that were on the
wrong one. I'm reading.
Rhonda? Adela? I don't know this first name, but Baca?
Here.
Okay. Albert? Taylor? Mitchell?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mitchell W? And then Mitchell H?
Mitchell H?
Yeah. Okay, and Lewis? Anybody out? I should have called you all, right? Okay.
Okay, then we are adjourned at 12 o'clock.
Thank you, everybody.